This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Hey, sports fans, it's Mason Crosby.
And Reese Crosby.
If you enjoy football, football,
be sure to check out Kicking It with the Crosbys. New episodes drop every Tuesday and Thursday.
Subscribe on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Daryl, always a pleasure to have you here on Baskin and Phelps.
What's happening, guys?
How are you, buddy?
Much, bud.
I'm good. I'm trying to stay. It snowed again.
Yeah.
And it's cold.
Just
we're actually having a winter.
Stop.
I told Jeff on the conference call this morning, I'm done. This is it. This is my breaking point. I'm done. I'm done with winter. I'm done with snow. I'm done with cold. I'm done with not seeing the sun.
Thanks, Daryl.
I'm done.
You got him going. Thanks.
Yeah. I'm done.
Dan, way back in the day, this is how it used to be every winter. We're just not used to it because, well, we've had a lot of nice winters in recent years.
That's really true.
Is this one of those where it's going to turn into both of you starting to do the whole back in my day, uphill,
yeah,
both ways,
yeah,
no shoes, cold as molasses. Bus would fall into the ditch, and we'd lift it and shove it back up so we get to school before English.
Remember in 78, we had 4 feet of snow, and we liked it.
Yeah. Kids get days off of school now if the temperature drops below freezing.
Isn't that true? Hey, there's going to be a cold breeze. Stay home, kids.
I'm not going to do the back in my day. I used to walk to school in a foot of snow up the hill with no boots. I'm not going to do that, but...
Anyhow...
Yeah. As tempting as it is.
I wonder if Matthew Stafford hated winter so much that he wouldn't want to come back to this part of the country.
Well, was winter indoors kind to him?
Well, he had to drive to the indoors, didn't he?
Yeah, I'm just saying, though. He got to actually play indoors, though.
He's the name that's out there right now, Daryl. All of a sudden, it's like, okay, Matthew Stafford's going to be available.
Yeah,
we'll see. He going to be available? Would he have an interest in the Browns, and would the Browns have an interest in him?
Well, I think the Browns have to have an interest in any quarterback that's available at this point, right? They're not doing their jobs if they don't express interest and do their due diligence and homework on these guys. I mean, they've got to find the best of the worst that's available this offseason to get them through this whatever transition, we'll call it, the 41st transition in franchise history since this team has come back, while they continue the never-ending search for a franchise quarterback. They should express interest in him, absolutely. As far as like what Stafford wants or what he, you know, wants to do, well, there's a chance he may not have a choice in the matter, right?
It's valid, Daryl.
Yeah.
Does the cap being a little higher than what people were thinking have any impact on what the Browns are looking to do in free agency?
I think that Andrew Berry's already mapped out his free agency plan going into the combine. And then you go there and you talk to the agents. And then in 3 weeks, we find out what was decided at the combine.
Yes.
That's usually how this works. Or is it 2 weeks?
At the bar at St. Elmo's between a shrimp cocktail.
Right, exactly. Or at Prime at 3 in the morning. I think that he's got an idea of what he wants to do. Obviously, the salary cap news yesterday was great for him and the Browns. Berry has done a pretty good job just with his own internal projections of what those numbers are going to look like. So, you know, the folks that were really losing their minds over the Browns salary cap space, You know, they're going to be fine. They'll restructure Deshaun. They'll restructure a couple of contracts, and boom, they'll have what they need to do to accomplish what Barry's looking to in free agency. It's why I really wasn't all that worried about it. Yeah, the fact that his cap number is so large and they're paying him what they're paying him to do basically nothing for them, you know, is problematic. But, you know, Barry knows how to work around and navigate all this stuff. So I'm not really concerned about that. I'm concerned about many other things, like finding the next quarterback, finding a franchise quarterback, and then filling the many holes that are on this roster.
You just mentioned juggling the cap and restructuring and everything else. We keep hearing, well, we've all taken the approach, and it seems like the Browns have as well. All right, you're going to draft somebody at quarterback, or you're going to sign a free agent at quarterback.
Yeah.
Do you think a trade for a quarterback is a legitimate option, Daryl?
No, I think it's too tough to do.
Okay.
Because of the cap, because you assume that contract and the cap the ramifications that come with the contract in its existing form, barring a restructure. And last time I checked, I don't think a lot of players, not just quarterbacks, but players in general, are willing to take less money. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I think that the route is they will draft a quarterback, they will sign one or two quarterbacks, but those quarterbacks are going to come here on team-friendly salaries. You know what I mean? And I think that that's why the Kirk Cousins thing makes sense, because he's getting his money from the Atlanta Falcons, right? And then gets released. And so, yeah, you could sign him probably for the veteran minimum, because he got his money, right? And those are the type of things that Andrew Barry has to be cognizant of, which he is. I'm not saying he's not. He is, obviously. But those are the things that he has to think about as he goes through this process, because you can't go out and spend another $35 million on a quarterback this offseason. You can't do it. And I'm talking about an annual salary. You know, if you did a $35 million contract over multiple years, that's a different story. But you can't go out and pay someone $35 million per year to come in here and start for this football team. You're going to need somebody who's making in the veteran minimum to $5, $6 million range. Maybe you throw some incentives or whatnot in there. But I think trading for a quarterback is a lot. I won't ever say anything's impossible, but I think it's much more difficult to do.
Our Cleveland sports reporter, Daryl Ryder, joining us in the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Badge Rim Hotline. Of course, all of his hits are powered by Scheiben Jewelers, Cleveland's premier jewelry store. Daryl, is it a foregone conclusion that the Browns are going to restructure Deshaun Watson's contract, lower that so
yes.
that they have more room?
Okay. Yes.
Okay.
And then what's going to happen is everybody's going to lose their minds, right? I mean, remember what they did in the fall when everyone lost their minds? It's going to happen again. They're probably going to restructure another 2 to 3 times before it's all said and done, because what Andrew Barry is rightfully calculating is the escalation of the cap. You're talking a $20 to $25 million increase from last year to this year, right? They were going into the offseason some $30-plus million over the cap. Now that number's 10. Well, you do a restructure of Deshaun, that saves you about 30. Oh, what do you know? Just that. Now you're all at 10, 20 million under the salary cap, and you're perfectly fine. Restructure a couple other contracts, you're even more under the salary cap. I mean, they rolled over last year, I believe it was around 40 million, if I remember correctly off the top of my head. Like, they rolled over, I think, the most money of anybody in cap room. So salary cap maintenance is not Andrew Berry's problem. Picking players that can come in here and win games, that's a different conversation. But managing the cap, that's not an issue. And that's why I really have not been all that concerned about the status of the cap.
Daryl Ryder's joining us. He's our Browns beat reporter. Any new rumblings on your favorite defensive end in mine?
Well, other than every Buffalo reporter that covers the team saying that the Bills placed a call to the Browns and made an offer?
I was on a Buffalo radio station. Oh, they were giddy. They were giddy.
Well, what's interesting is I don't care where they trade Miles, because I am of the belief that this football team is not close to contention, okay? So I don't view trading him to the Bills Trade him to the Chiefs for all I care. I just don't feel like that all of a sudden that's a roadblock for the Browns. The roadblock from the Browns is they don't have a very good football team. They're the worst team in the division again, and they got a long way to go to get back to the playoffs. So I don't care where you trade him. Now, odds are he gets traded to an NFC team because the Browns do think that they're close. They do feel like that with a couple of moves this offseason, they can get back to the playoffs. I respectfully disagree with that notion, but that's I'm just telling you where the organization is and how they feel about the state of this roster. They feel they're close. I disagree, but that's how they feel, and they're welcome to that. I think they're a little delusional, but that's okay. But, you know, I think Washington, Detroit make the most sense to trade Miles, but it's all about best package. I mean, there's only three teams I would not consider trading Miles Garrett to, and that's the Steelers, the Ravens, and the Bengals. Everybody else, come with your best offer, right? You know, Andrew Berry's job is to get the best possible package for him. Now, to be fair, the Browns are very, very clear. They're not trading Miles Garrett.
Do you believe that, by the way?
No, I do not.
Okay.
I think that, of course they're going to say that publicly, right? But I think, again, Andrew has to at least answer the phone. And that could also be code for, if you're going to call us, make sure it's with a purpose and that it's worth my time. You know, don't be calling us offering a couple of second-round picks or something like that, right? Because I think Miles should get you at least two first-round picks plus, and then some, right? But I think ultimately you do trade him. I think the more I think about the situation, it's in their best interest long-term to trade him. They're not winning with him, right?
I love the concept of, boy, I wonder what you could get, and then what you could do with that to help your team. But I also really love the idea of having a Hall of Fame talent at defensive end. So
I know, but unfortunately, the Hall of Fame talent doesn't want to be here.
Well, apparently not.
And
you do think it's more about that and not about money, right?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Absolutely. I also think it's about legacy. Because let's be honest about it. That's going back to that statement that was released the Monday of Super Bowl week, right? The whole line about, you know, the goals not, it was never to go from Cleveland to Canton or what. Yeah, it was. That was a goal when he first came into the league, along with Defensive Player of the Year and a couple other things. But he does have a point. The great ones are remembered for winning. Joe Thomas is the exception to the rule. He was so great at his position, it didn't matter that he blocked for 25 quarterbacks and the Browns never had a winning season with him here, right? I think with, you know, from where Miles is coming from, part of it's about money, Jeff. When it comes to the Browns. Like, okay, this offseason I'm due for the pay raise with 2 years left on my deal, but I don't want to stay in Cleveland if I have no chance to compete. I don't want to commit to the Browns if they're not really committed to winning. Now, I'm not going to sit here and say that the Cleveland Browns are not committed to winning, because that's completely unfair. The method in which they're going about being committed to winning, I disagree with. I don't think it's working, and they need to shake things up a little bit. But they are trying to win. They're spending money to win. They're not getting the return on their investment. So, and if you can get assets, and this is the key, that you can flip into better players to sprinkle into the rest of the roster to build a team, rather it be Miles Garrett, Denzel Ward, and the rest of the defense, and, well, David Njoku, Jerry Jeudy, Wyatt Teller, maybe or maybe not, Joel Bitonio, depending what he decides to do, and the rest of the offense, right? Because there's a lot of holes they need to fill, and trading Miles Garrett could give them the assets that they need to be able to do that, but then you have to make the assumption that they're going to convert those assets into quality players that are going to help elevate the roster. And that's the rub in this whole thing. Because historically, especially when it comes to the draft, the Browns don't do that especially well. They don't miss all the time, but they do miss the majority of the time.
Speaking of players that, I don't know, maybe I would call it a hit. He's been fine. But Greg Newsom is playing on the fifth year option of his rookie contract.
I would count him as a hit, Dan.
I think so. Yeah.
I'm not going to sit here and say that Greg Newsom's a bust. No, absolutely not. No, it was a hit. Yeah.
I agree with you. I think he's going to have a 10-year career in this league. The question I have, though, is he going to have a 10-year career in this league playing for the majority of it for the Browns, or is he going to have another 5 years on top of that, possibly playing for somebody else?
Well, and this is, again, where it comes down to where the Browns evaluate him, right? Do they view him strictly as a nickel corner, a package player? He wants to play outside and be in every down corner. Does that ambition of his mesh with the Browns' vision, right? I think Mary Kay wrote the story something to the effect of, he wants to be in Cleveland, but he also wants to be on the field more to help the team, right? And that's great, that's admirable, but it depends if the Browns believe that he can do that, right? So I think he is an interesting player to watch this offseason as far as a potential trade, and especially with whatever they decide to do in the draft, because Denzel Ward only has so much tread left on his tires. There's questions about Greg Newsom. Remember, Andrew Berry has the philosophy, and it's a good philosophy, there's no such thing as enough good corners, right? And this is a good draft to get some cornerbacks. So I think he's going to be an interesting player to watch this offseason. And if they do move him, then that tells you no, the Browns did not see him as an every down type of cornerback. They viewed him as a specialty type of corner that they're not going to pay starting cornerback money to, if that makes sense.
There's rumblings, and they're coming out of Pittsburgh.
Hang on. I need to sit down for this, Jeff.
Yeah.
Because you said they're coming out of Pittsburgh, and I have an idea where you're going with this. So go ahead.
That the Steelers have an interest in signing Nick Chubb.
Okay.
Tell me that one. tell me that's not going to happen. Please, just tell me.
Mr. Chubb, as Mike Tomlin would say.
Well, we all know Mike Tomlin's admiration and respect that he has for Chubb.
It's yes, unquestioned. Sure.
I would hope not, but, I mean, Joe Hayden was a Pittsburgh Steeler.
Yeah, but the Browns cut him.
I know, but I'm just saying, well, you know.
Dan Fike.
Did I hear it correctly? Did Ken Carman say this morning he'll pay whatever it costs to keep Nick Chubb away from the Steelers?
I do not know.
Okay.
If he did, Ken's got a lot of disposable income.
Yeah, because there is, you do have to, I understand where you'd be coming from there, but you also have to, you got to be smart about how you spend your dollars.
Yeah.
And I would hope that Nick Chubb does not sign with the Steelers, but you know, if the Browns don't re-sign him and he becomes a free agent, right? I mean, you're free to go wherever you want.
You can go anywhere that they want you.
And if you're the Pittsburgh Steelers and you've watched Nick Chubb run you over with regularity over the last, you know, 6, 7, 8 years, I'd want to sign the guy too, right?
All right, D. Thank you, buddy.
Stretch before you shovel. Don't pull anything. It's not worth it.
A good idea. Thank you, Daryl.
You bet, guys. Have a great week.
Daryl Ryder, our Browns beat reporter, is brought to us by Scheiben Jewelers, Cleveland's premier jewelry store. Dano, say it isn't so. Dan Menigan's in for Andy Baskin today. I'm Jeff Phelps. Say that one isn't so.
I really, really, really want it to not be so. I really do. But we kind of went down this road once already. We already went down this road once, and it is the Joe Hayden thing just sits in my brain.
Yeah, but Joe got cut.
I know, but like it's still like the Joe Hayden thing sits in my brain. But before we get too far, hey, win a pair of weekend passes to Sonic Temple Art and Music Festival May 8th to 11th at Historic Crew Stadium with Metallica, supported by Rob Zombie, Alice in Chains, and 100 more bands. Just enter the code word PUPPETS, 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 by the end of this hour at 92ThroughTheFan.com to get registered to win. It's all from Sonic Temple Art and Music Festival and 92.3 The Fan.
Folks, what would you think
if the Browns decided they didn't want to pay Nick Chubb enough to make Nick Chubb want to resign here, and he ended up in a Pittsburgh Steelers uniform. And, of course, the team that he had his second major knee injury against and the big rival. How would that sit with you, Browns fans? 216-474-0092. It would drive me up a wall. And usually those things don't bother me very much. I wouldn't be mad at Nick. I don't know that I would be mad at the Browns. Even though I would like Nick to come back to this team, I would understand if they wanted to move on from him. I would understand that, even though I'd like him back. But man, that one would drive me nuts.
It would be the ultimate, like, this stinks. Like, that's the only way I would put it, is it's like, this stinks.
Wow.
Because...
That's really insightful.
I mean, what's a better way to put it? I mean, if the organization determined that the injuries are piling up and the knee isn't where it needs to be and it's just time
and
to
it's
move
just
on.
Time, yeah.
Yeah, and all of that. And then Pittsburgh would decide to pick him up along the way because Nick Chubb is just looking for a job on top of it. It's not even like... You would look at this and go, okay, this team is the villain. This situation is the villain, whether it's the team of the Cleveland Browns or Nick Chubb themselves, and this team is the and Nick Chubb is the hero or anything like that. Like, it would just be mutual crappiness. Like, it's the only way I would do it. Like, because you'd logically look at me like, okay, I get what the team is looking for, but at the same point, I get what Nick Chubb is looking for, right? Like, is there a better way to put this, Jeff? Is that It feels like just mutual crappiness.
That would be, yeah, it would be just one of those things like, oh, come on, man. And I couldn't blame Nick, because if that's where he wanted to go and play, that would be a really good thing. If that's where he wanted to go and play, fine. But man, I would be upset the Browns a little bit, because, and then if he can still play and you give the Steelers that caliber of a running back. You know, the Nick Chubb we saw last year, I don't expect to be the same Nick Chubb we see this year. And I say that because even though he was injured later in the season, it wasn't the same injury. It was, a bone's heel. And in theory, the knee should be better with more time. And he could be good there.
So our sister station down at Pittsburgh, 93.7.
Yeah. Down? Isn't that over?
Dude, I'm directionally challenged, okay? You've known me long enough to know my landmarks
I know.
Are bars and golf courses, okay? That's how I find myself everywhere.
You know, if everybody believed what you say about drinking in bars, if we all believed it, we'd all be visiting you in some
point.
Detox center
everyone,
somewhere.
I'd walk into the half circle in the banner. But honestly, when it comes to directions, that is kind of how I find my way around.
I know you're
it's
not
like
good.
You go to till you get to like Mallard and make a left at Mallard Creek and then go for a while and then you'll see this bar on the corner and make a right. Like, I'm notorious for anyway. Not important.
Yeah.
93.7 The Fan, Andrew Filippone, Chris Mueller, their show in the afternoon. They had their Steelers insider on, Jeff Hawthorne, who talked about.
Yeah, boy.
Nick Chubb to the Steelers, and this was their reaction.
I'll throw out a name of someone that I know that they're interested in at least talking to. The medicals would have to play out, and obviously it would be a decision, but Nick Chubb is someone they would consider.
Mr. Chubb.
Of that group.
That's
a big bombshell.
That is a bombshell.
From Jeff.
Wow. But we know that he loves
him. My God,
because
I thought the guy was absolutely
Mr.
dead. I don't think he's got anything left.
Well,
love Nick Chubb.
Jeff,
we're talking about probably a 1-year deal, a prove it deal, an opportunity to get back on your feet. But I know that there is interest in seeing. Again, let's see what his medicals are. I mean, he maybe just doesn't have it anymore.
I think his knee is probably shot, which is a huge shame, and I'm still bummed about that play as a football fan when he got hurt. I thought the guy was the best pure runner, like just running and finding holes, and just it was aesthetically very pleasing to watch him do his thing. But my goodness, as much as you saying that is a bombshell, I certainly hope it doesn't happen, because I don't think there's a world you could convince me where the medicals line up with him.
See, that's the concern I have. And that the concern I have there is that the Browns are going to see that and think, yeah, this isn't going to work for us long term. And that Nick ends up having to go somewhere else. And if it were Pittsburgh, that would just stink. You're right.
It would be mutual crappiness. Every situation would just be crummy. And you would look at each of them and go, oh, this hurts. And like,
it's like, did this have to be?
Right. And the problem
Jacksonville
is,
couldn't have used him.
And if he
couldn't
could,
have gone back and played for the Falcons as a backup.
I don't know what Nick Chubb still has left in the tank. I hope he's got something in the tank because I just thoroughly enjoy watching the man play football.
Yeah, me too.
And he's a wonderful person on top of it. And we all want him to retire as a Cleveland Brown. And we all want to have him show up to every single alumni thing where he could get the standing ovations over and over again that he is very, very well deserved.
Yep, absolutely. Nelson's in Avon Lake. Nelson.
How are you, Nelson?
Hey, guys. You know, few things bother me about professional sports and players. I mean, I come to understand that it is a business, and players to move about from team to team. But I have to be honest, I don't know that I could stomach on a Steelers jersey. I've come to, very few players that are near and dear to me, and Nick has been, and I'm sure for a lot of Browns fans, has been that player that to me symbolizes what this franchise and what the city is all about. And I do hope the Browns sign him. I understand that he is not, will probably will ever be the player that he was. And that's hard to comprehend. And we understand that would come to an end. But I do hope that the Browns do find a way. Because that would be, I mean, seeing him on another jersey would be hard enough, let alone see him on a Steelers jersey.
Yeah,
thank you.
Nelson, thank you very much. And you're probably not out walking today because of the weather, so enjoy your next walk.
I used to laugh.
I agree with you. That would be painful.
I used to laugh at Andy all the time of the people who have 100% approval ratings and how there are so few of them. It's basically like Dolly Parton and the other one that always got thrown out.
Dolly Parton.
The other one with an 100% approval rating that always was thrown out was Nick Chubb. And you can even hear it listening to Pittsburgh radio of the amount of respect
absolutely
and love that they have for Nick Chubb. Like, it's, I think that's our list right now of people with 100% approval ratings. Dolly Parton, Nick Chubb.
Another show is talking about another player, insight from an NFL insider on the Rich Eisen Show, next on Baskin and Phelps.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not-so-secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
We were just talking about Nick Chubb a
Mr.
little bit.
Chubb.
And we're going to talk about Myles Garrett in a second here, but Sean's in Lakewood. Sean.
All right, Sean.
What's going on, guys?
Not much, man. Not much. Just tired of snow. I'm done.
Don't get him going, Sean.
Yeah. I hear you on that.
I've had it.
No, I just want
the direction of your organization.
The Chubb stuff. Can you hear me?
Yeah.
Yep. Sorry about that.
Oh, good.
It's just, I'm sick over it, thinking about it. You know, you're talking about having a pit in your stomach over Joe Hayden going there, and I just feel like this would be a million times worse. Like, that's the type of guy, you let him walk, and especially to a team like the Steelers, he's going to work so much harder and just make us pay twice a year, going to be the biggest regret. Like, I just can't fathom it. We talk about letting Miles go into an AFC team and that being like a roadblock. I would much rather hate seeing Nick Chubb going to the Steelers and having to play him twice a year than see Miles on any AFC team. Like, it's just sickening to think about.
It is. There are some guys who you just think, this is our guy. And I think people think that about Nick. I do. Sean, thank you very much.
And you just want to, he's one of those guys, Jeff, that you, and this is going to sound so dumb and so childish, but you want to be able to pull up the football reference page
and see nothing but CLE.
See nothing but CLE.
Yeah.
Like, you just want that for Nick Chubb. I want to be able, 5 years from now,
this guy was our guy,
to pull up the football reference page and look and go, God, that guy was just a force.
Like Jim Brown.
Yep.
You know, same type of thing. Terry's in Brunswick, home of the Blue Devils. Terry?
What's happening, Terry?
How's it going, guys?
Good.
So I just want to preface this. I'm a Steelers fan, but I'm a Guardians, Cavs fan. Listen to you guys all the time.
That's very kind of you.
From a Steelers perspective, a Steelers fan,
yeah.
I don't know if I'd want him because of the injuries and everything like that. But as I follow the Browns, and I, you know, want you guys to do well, and I know how much it means to the city. I can't see it happening. I mean, I want him to stay here. I think if you're the Browns, you give him a 1 year prove it deal, see what he can do. But if he goes to the Steelers, you know, I don't know what the city's going to be thinking. I know how you guys feel about us. So yeah, I just don't think it's the move for the Browns. I think you want to keep the fans happy. I think you want to keep them here.
All right, Terry, thank you very much. I think so too. If he has anything left, but the thing then this becomes a big issue. If the Browns don't think he has anything left and isn't going to be, you know, the guy that he used to be or close to it, well, and then if the Steelers did, and if the Steelers were right.
See, now.
Now I'm making it worse, aren't I?
Yeah, now you need to put disclaimers before you go down that road so that people can take their Tums.
Yeah, hey, I'm sorry.
That's just...
I apologize.
I know you don't want to hand out goodwill contracts. I know that's not a good way. Like, what gets you in trouble more than anything
that's very true.
In professional sports is paying for was. You never want to pay for was. You
Which is pay why for, it's a harsh world.
You want to pay for sports. Is and will be. And the thing with Nick Chubb is I wonder if you do sign him to a long-term contract if you are paying for was and not what is and what will be. And I really hope with everything in me that maybe they would have to come to a realization of which direction this team is going. And I think that would be maybe the indication, because I hope he has something left and I hope he helped winning, because I think Nick Chubb is a winning player and has been his entire career and is a wonderful person to have around.
Yes, on all of that. So we'll see.
I hope he aids in winning, because if he aids in winning, you could justify bringing him here.
NFL reporter, insider, The Athletic, Diana Russini has done a great job in her career of reporting things and having some inside scoop on stuff. She was on the Rich Eisen show yesterday and brought this up about Mr. Myles Garrett.
I expect that to pick up, actually, over the next week or two, knowing that Myles Garrett's agent is going to be at the combine, talking to teams, talking to people around the league about what's going on. I can just tell you what I know at this point, and that's the Browns do not want to move him. They've gotten calls from teams in the NFC. They've gotten calls from teams in the AFC, and they've been told all the same thing. We're not moving him for now. So I have found the word for now interesting.
Yes.
Because the conversations I've had have been more, no, it's like, just kill the story. We're not trading him. It's over. Like, just stop. Miles is going to be in Cleveland. But for now, it makes it interesting.
It does make it interesting. I think you have to say that in pro sports, but we'll see. I think a lot of it might depend on the situation with Deshaun Watson and where does that go. But, you know, there are a couple of big things the Browns are juggling here. I shouldn't even say juggling, having to deal with. And, you know, one might lead to another, blah, 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 who knows. I think that's an interesting thought for her. Browns don't want to move him for now. Daryl Ryder was just with us last hour. He said the same thing, for now, but he thinks they might.
If the right offer is on the table, I am sure they will do it. The question I have is, what do they see as the right offer?
Yeah, I'm just curious, and again, I don't know all the cap dollar numbers and all that stuff. I wonder their ability to do that and to do anything else with the rest of the team based on that. And if Deshaun can, you know, if they redo his contract like Daryl said they're going to do yet again, you've
right.
talked about that numerous times, they always seem to be able to create money.
Yes.
You know, all NFL teams do. So I would assume if they want to move Miles, they'll be able to figure out a way financially to pull that off.
They are the Simone Biles of cap gymnastics. They are very good at what they do. It's the best way to put it.
Simone Biles.
They are the Simone Biles of cap gymnastics.
Okay.
It's them and the Saints going for 1-2, but the Saints may have finally hit the tail end of it.
Okay.
So I am with you, and I agree with that sentiment and that thought, but I think what it does, and correct me if I'm wrong on this, and if you see it differently, if you trade Myles Garrett, you've basically turned to the rest of the roster and said, boys, we're winning 6 games this year.
Well, they won 3 last year.
Right.
You're saying we're on our way up.
But they at no point looked at the roster. Well, I take that back. Maybe the DTR move. Before the DTR move, at no point did they look at the roster and say, boys, we're winning 3 games this year.
You know, the one thing here, I for some reason, the idea of if they trade Miles, they're throwing away the season and rebuilding, that has never stuck in my head. Because I think,
really?
Oh, yeah. And you know why?
Do tell.
Let's just say, okay, and I doubt that New England would do it, but I've mentioned 4th overall pick for a guy like Myles Garrett. Well, you don't think you could get somebody at 4 who could help you win football games? If you got their 1st and 2nd, and again, this is just my little hypothetical. Those 2 draft picks would come in and you'd have 2 new starters. And you don't think one of them could come in and be impactful? Maybe if you get Abdul Carter at 2, he could come in and play defensive end? I mean, that's the thing. It's not like you're replacing an entire defensive line or an entire offensive line. You need some guy to step in and play defensive end. And would you get one as good as Miles? Unlikely. And unlikely in year number 1, certainly. But I just don't think trading one player means you're throwing away the thought that you can win this season.
This is going to come off very blunt. Jeff, rookies are bad.
Like some of them.
Typically, when rookies step into the league, they're bad.
Some. Al Bubba Baker set a rookie record for sacks when he was in Detroit.
But your percentages.
Oh, I know. I know.
Would tell you.
Everybody's telling me Abdul Carter is the generational player. Great. Bad. Bring him in. Put him at defensive end. Let him go. All I'm saying is this. I don't think you're throwing away a season if you trade Myles Garrett. And I don't want to trade Myles Garrett if I can avoid it. Craig's in Houston. Craig.
All right, Craig.
Hey, guys. Jeff, good to talk to my Golden Flash buddy again
from my retirement
home in Houston.
Nice. It's cold there today, isn't it, Craig?
Don't tell us the temperature or the weather. I don't want to hear it.
It's cold there. It's cold there today.
It's 33.
Yeah.
33.
You're upgraded from us. We're in the teens.
That's right.
You don't have 3 inches of snow underground.
Miles. No snow. I want to put my dead man GM walking hat on and be Andrew Berry for a minute. I'm telling Miles this. Miles, we've told you we don't want to trade you. The only way we'll consider it is if we get 2 draft picks from one of the top 10 draft position teams in the league right now. You and your agent, look at that list. And you tell us now if you would go to any of them. And if not, Miles, give us 1 more year. If we don't improve and you don't feel we're heading in the right direction next summer, we'll trade you to a contender if we get what we want back. But I'm not going to trade you unless I get a top 10 draft pick, 2 future picks with one of the teams in the top 10. We cannot replace you drafting between 20 and 30. Of someone of your talent for the next 2 years.
Craig, I think that's right on the money. Good to hear from you in Houston, Texas.
92.3 The Fan. Breaking news.
Shyam Charania, ESPN. San Antonio Spurs all-star Victor Wembanyama is expected to miss the rest of the season with a deep vein
thrombosis.
Yeah, a blood clot in his shoulder.
Oh.
They believe it is an isolated incident. The Spurs are the they in that sentence. And he is done for the year.
Oh,
that stinks.
That's not good.
Scary. That is very scary.
Wow. That is scary.
Oh, man.
One more time. Victor Wembanyama out for the year. San Antonio, deep vein thrombosis, blood clot shoulder.
Blood clot shoulder. They believe it's an isolated incident. That's scary.
Oof.
For a lot of reasons.
Yeah. Okay. Well, I'm glad you broke in with that. Even though that's terrible news. It's terrible news for him. Obviously, it's terrible news for the NBA. He's fun. He can play.
That's scary. I hope he's all right. I hope it's an isolated incident. You start dealing with blood clots and all that stuff. That is not fun.
Well, and
that's an ugly situation.
Certainly no medical expertise here. However, NBA players, you know, like if you're Chris Paul, okay, you're built like the rest of us. Right, if you're Darius Garland, you're built like the rest of us. Evan Mobley, Victor Wembanyama, these guys aren't built like the rest of us, and they have different things that, you know, it's like, that okay? And maybe this is something that, you know, as you said, hopefully it's really isolated, as they say, and it's not anything he's going to have to deal with. But, you know, people aren't supposed to be 7'3", and very tall people have different issues, so hope that's okay.
Hope he's all right.
Yeah, hope that's all right. Tom Withers was the Cleveland area reporter for the Associated Press for a very long time. Kind of still is. We'll explain. He's in retirement, but he's not. He's working like crazy. He's going to talk Cavs. He's going to talk Guardians with us next. I can't wait to get his thoughts on the Cavs' place in the Eastern Conference as they creep in on the playoffs. Tom's next on Baskin and Phelps.